Good morning, church. Who here with me, starting Tuesday, has a certain weight goal in their mind? Just me and Israel, huh? Nobody else? I don't believe you. If you are, you should go see James right there. How much weight have you lost since you were last here in church? 25 pounds? Okay, stand up. Let's take a look at James. Doesn't he look good? All right, good to see you. You're looking good. It's good to see you here in church. So if you want to lose 20, 25 pounds, he's got a great plan for you. You look good. It's good to see you. Sorry, I just couldn't resist that. We're going to do something quite different today. I've never done this before. But this is the last Sabbath of the year, and I don't know how many sermons I've preached, but it's quite a few, and I've preached them from here, and the whole goal is that you will change, that you will grow, that you will connect with Christ, your Savior, and that you will live this fully surrendered life. I've also worked out that just because I preach it doesn't mean that it suddenly becomes so. So I thought I would go back over the year and just sort of pick out the highlights, my favorite bits of things that I shared during the year. So if you're thinking, oh, the preacher didn't want to get a sermon ready during Christmas, well, that was kind of my plan too, but it ended up taking a lot more time than I thought it was going to take. But it was fun for me to go back over. I love end-of-the-year review shows, whether it's news or sports. Especially when I was younger, because a year seemed to take forever when I was younger. And so I would watch this year in review, and it's like, well, I barely remember that stuff, but this is amazing. Well, now I blink and another year has gone by. But I still loved to watch these review shows. So I thought I would do that this year. And another reason why is because once I got, you know, those emails that fly around everybody, there's a few in every place, including in here, that feel the need to share 20 emails a day. No, it's not that much. But, you know, where you get quite a few emails. And one that I got told a story like this. A guy went to his preacher and said, you know, I don't think I need to come to church anymore. Because, honestly, I don't remember a single sermon that you've ever preached. And this preacher, who was much wiser than I and was quick on his feet, or maybe wasn't a real preacher and just this is a great story, said, well, do you remember what you ate last month, last year, 2 years ago? No. Then why do you eat? Because you need it to get through the day. The goal here is not to give you a memorable experience that you'll hold on to in the way that you'll remember it. But the goal here in church is a place to come and connect with each other, to share common needs, to help and be helped, and to come and worship God and grow close to Him as time marches on. If you come here and if you live and you grow and you are changed more and more into the likeness of Christ, then you're going to a good church. It's not about remembering the sermon. Did I just lower the bar enough for the preacher? I don't know. But I thought while I get going that I would also show you a couple of videos this morning. These are the videos that you seem to like the most. They're ones that I like, and I watch them from time to time just to pump me up. So I thought I'd start off with one of those as we get going as well. We've got some sound on this.
My King is the King of the Jews. Enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king.
Amen.
That one just gets me every time. Sometimes when I sit down to write a sermon and it's just not there, I'll just watch that again. And I was like, okay, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready to preach. That is my king. I think one of the best parts of our year this year was the Steve Green concert. That was just a lot of fun. It was fun to see this room full. It was fun to plan it. It was fun to meet him. It was fun just to have that kind of praise and worship from this platform right here. And he's known for a number of things and for a number of songs, but the song that I've often known him for is the song, People Need the Lord. And he sang it here. And it was just really great to hear it. And so as we go through and I sort of reminisce over the last year, I just want to remember this fact that, you know what? People need God. People need a Savior. So often we get down on our knees and we cry out to God for very immediate needs that are around us right now. But as a church, it would be wonderful if we were to focus more and more on the big picture, on the salvation story, on Jesus Christ. Because no matter how good things are or how desperate things are, we all need the Lord. We all need Jesus. So I started out this year and started out, actually it might be going back a little further, but I'm pretending I've been here a year now. And one of the first sermon series that I did coming to a new church was all about, do you remember? Money. Typical preacher. You know, let's just get that out of the way right off the front. Let's talk about money. And there's no doubt about it. This church needs money to operate, to fulfill the vision and goals that we have As a group of God's people, we'll need people's energy, people's creativity. We'll also need people's money. And we don't like to talk about it very much, but that is a very real thing. And in fact, because I forgot to mention it earlier, I will say one more time that December 31st is kind of the tax thing cutoff, right? January 1st is a new year. And I, for one, do not like being asked, oh, just let that slip through. Just don't like to do that. So see Caroline up to midnight. No. Anytime up to nine, I heard, which I think is also very, very generous. If you can find me, that'll work too. I'll take it over to Caroline as well if you see me during the day. Anyway, but that's not what the sermon series was about. The sermon series was about your money and your relationship with money, whether you have it or not. That the power of money can be equal, just as powerful, whether you have a lot of it or hardly any of it. Some of the issues that we face with it are exactly the same. So these were some of the things that we talked about there. We said that you might be in trouble financially, because in this world today, a lot of people are in trouble financially. By the way, a lot of people are in trouble health-wise as well. And I think that'll be a sermon series that we'll have coming up next year at some point. Relationships and health are two things that I'm reading a lot on right now in order to prepare a sermon series on that. But in the world of finance, a lot of us are hurting. A lot of us don't have the same financial disciplines that our parents, our generation before us had. And we're paying for that, not just individually and as families, but also as a country and a global community. So we put things like this up. If you spend more than you make in a year, you might be in a little bit of trouble financially, which makes sense, right? And yet a lot of us find ways to do this. We said things like, if you don't know whether you spend more than you're making, you're in financial trouble. And we talked a lot about just know where your money's going. That's just a huge start to just a good financial foundation in your life. If you owe more on your car than it's worth, you're not doing well in the world of finances. You can take that further. If you have a car with 220,000 miles on it and no down payment for a new one, you might be in some a little bit of financial mess as well. If you don't know how much you owe on your car, or if you don't care how much you owe on your car, you're lost financially. If paying the minimum on your credit card is a way of life, you are very lost financially. If you think that paying the minimum on your credit card is good financial planning, you are on a downward spiral to a whole world of hurt that you don't have to go through. If the only money you are saving is the money taken out of your paycheck, maybe your saving plan is to pay a bit more tax than you're charged for the year so that you get a bit of a refund. Maybe that's your saving plan. It's not a great saving plan. If your retirement is only what they're taking out, your retirement might be a bit lean in your other years, your later years, I think is what I was looking for. If you aren't sure if you're saving enough, if you don't know how much money you owe, these are recipes for disasters. If you have no method of tracking your money, if you have financial dreams but no financial plans, if you make over $75,000 a year and you're feeling financial pressure, you are lost financially. You can, just by making a few different decisions, have financial freedom. If you're making financial decisions that you hope your spouse never finds out about, you're in a world of trouble. If you're making financial decisions that you hope the IRS never finds out about, they will. You have a whole load of pain. How we handle our money is a spiritual issue. Jesus said more about money than heaven and hell combined. Because he knows that how you handle your money just makes a huge difference to your relationship with him, how you're able to live out your calling with him. We told stories along the lines of, like, if you felt the call just to go be a missionary right now, most of us in this room could not go because we owe money and would not be able to carry on paying back those balances if we changed our circumstances that radically. This is coming back to me right now. I remember we really had a good time talking about this. And maybe we can just be reminded, because we can make lots of deals ourselves about, I'm going to be better with money. I really am. I'm going to give God everything that I have. But then as life goes on, it's easy just to slip away from some of those dreams and some of those goals that we set for ourselves. And here, now, you just get a little reminder of what it's like to be the Lord of your money, so that your money is not Lord over you. That's why God cares about your money, because God wants to be your God. He doesn't want your money to be your God and to rule you. So we spent a little bit of time about that. And it's kind of neat to bring up at this point, because January 1st is a great resolution time. I went through a whole period of my life where I would not make any New Year's resolutions because I thought it was gimmicky and I wasn't going to keep them anyway. Well, if you're not going to make them, you're just even one step further back from being a better you. So don't be afraid of making a good New Year's resolution. We also talked about debt and the dangers of debt and how it stops you from doing what you want to do. When you're still paying for something that is long gone out of your life, that is just a crushing experience. We looked at the story of the rich young ruler, someone who was rich, young, and powerful. The three things we prize in life: wealth, youth, and power. And the ability to do what we want to do and get other people to do what we want the others to do. And yet this rich young ruler came to Jesus because he wasn't satisfied with his life. We looked at the story of the dishonest manager and learned that what we have here is only for a short time, and that we are commanded to make the most of this short time. We should make the most of what we have while we have it. We learn that it wasn't a sin to be wealthy, that God has wealthy people to do his bidding and to do his work around the place. We should just be using our wealth for God, for his plan, if we're God's followers. If you're not a follower of God, then I make no claim as a preacher over your money or anything. Do what you like with it. Because you are free to choose. God creates you with this freedom. But if you are a follower and believe what he says to be true, then you can use your energy, your wealth, your passion, your family, your home, your things. You can use them for God's glory and for his mission. We also looked at the person who looked to have it made and was living the dream, but God called a fool. The person who built extra barns because he didn't have enough room to store all of his wealth, all of his assets. I mean, we look at that and we go, man, that guy has made it. And God says, he's a fool. Because tomorrow it could be all gone. Then we went to 1 Timothy and we saw how discontentment can lead us to searching for things that can never be found. And that if we are following anyone other than God, then we are lost. Looking back this week, I came to this conclusion that we shared here in church. And I said this, and I'll finish this section with this phrase one more time. Whatever is taking you away from God, stop spending money on it. Now, I'm going to take the silence as a convicted silence. Because a lot of us spend money on things that take us out of the presence of God. Later in the year, your new pastor got up in the pulpit or what was rapidly becoming a music stand. That sort of happened over the course of the year a little bit. And posed a question. What if this space, if this room could become a judgment-free zone? Do you remember that? Doesn't that sound nice? Aren't a lot of churches known for their judgment? Now, this is understandable because we have convictions, okay? And I'm not asking anybody to give up their convictions. We may not share the same convictions. In fact, the likelihood of all of us coming into this space and having the same convictions are very unlikely. So I want you to come here with your convictions and to be fired up for good service and good work here. But we want to keep this room a judgment-free zone. And I want to say this morning, I kind of like what I've been hearing with this, with the conversations that we've been having around the place. I want to commend this congregation for a lot of work that we have done together. I think, from what I hear, it's been kind of fun for you guys to have a pastor again. I just kind of picked that up. And it's been fun for this pastor to come to this church and sort of, you know, take what I learned in my previous lives and sort of try again. Because that's what a lot of life is about, right? When you mess up and when you think, well, that didn't quite work. Let's try it this way this time. And coming in, I heard lots of things about this and that and people wondering about which side I would fall down on different things. And people just don't talk to me about that anymore. Maybe you know me better now and go, he's not going to listen to me anyway. I don't know. But I like to think that this space, that this room has become a judgment-free zone. And I like that. Because as we said, you cannot worship and judge at the same time. That's why we leave the judging up to God. Now, we still want to support and help one another. And we don't get perfect coming into this room. So there are a mountain of things to judge in here. But when we come into this space, we breathe easy and we worship our God. And that means we can't be tearing other people down. And that will be a powerful thing in this church as we move forward. But I want to commend this congregation because I like some of the things that I'm hearing and I love being part of it. We talked about a couple parables on the judgment thing. One was two people that prayed in church. Remember the priest, Pharisee? Forget if it was a priest or a Pharisee. You think I'd check that up again? What was it? A Pharisee. They really got a raw deal, didn't they? But they deserved it, I think. I mean, if Jesus calls you a brood of vipers, you know, something's going on. I was at a church once and somebody came up and said, I'm a Pharisee. He was really proud of it. He said, no, I'm a Jesus-loving Pharisee, but he really liked the rules. I mean, he really liked the rules. It was just a really funny moment. I didn't know what to say. What do you say to someone that comes up and says, I'm a Pharisee? This Pharisee got up and prayed and said, thank you that I am not like this other person at the back of the church. And this other person, the sinner, was also saying a prayer. Something like, oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. Forgiveness, worship, support happens in a community that doesn't tear each other down. And the other parable we looked at was the parable of the wheat and the tares, and how Jesus commands that the tares be allowed to grow with the wheat and that he would sort them out at the end. We do not need to worry about that. Amongst all this, there were Sabbath school classes. I don't get to sit in them very much. But we have really good Sabbath school classes in this room. And I made a mistake last week because I was running through all the kids' Sabbath schools. And I thought, well, I will also mention the two Sabbath schools that meet in here. But I also didn't mention the two other Sabbath schools that meet in that room and over in the school. And these are just really good classes. There are some really good Sabbath school teachers in this place. If you're here and you're not fitting into church, or you don't know how to make friends here, the first thing to do is to join a Sabbath school group, because that's a small group. You get to know a smaller group of people. And I would just keep encouraging you to do that, because as we study together, we will grow together. And I've laid it on thick for a couple of weeks, and you know how you work. You know what you need for your growth. And it might be different for you than it is for me. But I did just want to say that we do have good Sabbath schools in this church. We also had a wonderful church camp out. We're doing that again, right? Yes, we're doing that again. Good. That was an amazing, the weather was perfect. That, for me, was perfect weather, and the company was good, and you all came out for the day, even if some of you are wimps and didn't come out for the night. And of course, I stayed in the motorhome, so I can't really talk. But it was just a wonderful thing with the kayaks and the boats and the snakes that people found and waved in my face and all this stuff. It was just a really wonderful Sabbath, and I hope we get to do that again. Church out at the lake. It was just another wonderful day where people just came and hung out all day long. There's just no pressure there. Maybe some of you who put it on felt some pressure. I felt none. And I thought that was just a truly amazing day, even if I nearly lost my daughter drowning in the lake. She was stranded by her best friend, Emily. And now we all have stories from that day. We're all alive, so we're all good. And I hope we get to do that again coming up in the new year as well. We raise money for Alpha, which I think is coming up again. We raise money for the Salvation Army. We did the Adopt-A-Family. We did these things. And as was mentioned, it's just a good, warm, fuzzy feeling inside to do these things. And there's other projects around that some of you have been involved in that you do in certain Sabbath school classes. There's always something going on that we're signing up for or packing up or giving money to. And I think a church should be doing this kind of stuff. I felt good as your pastor. We decorated some classrooms, we spent some money on the building, and we have a plan to do that for the next 5 years for different parts, and that's just a good part of church life as well. We got our other annual event that seems to be going on, and it's the garage gets stolen into, so it's not just camp outs we do every year, we get a break in every year as well. So we were back on this year as well. That wasn't necessarily a good part, but happened nevertheless. We traveled up to CVCA to see our kids in the gymnastics home show up there. A lot of you went up there, and that was really cool, and I imagine we'll do things like that again coming this year as well. And Francis and Marina got baptized as well, so that just makes this church year another great, great year for all of us. And this is something that's becoming near and dear to my heart, and that is Pathfinders and Adventures. I took it on because I did not want to lose Pathfinders. We lost our school a little while back. I didn't want to lose Pathfinders. You know that you can't do church in one morning a week, right? It just doesn't work. And so I want a place for our kids to come in the middle of the week. And thanks to, I can't say it enough, the staff that come out for that. All I do for Pathfinders is I show up, and earlier in the week, hopefully if I remember, I write an email to all the staff of what everyone's supposed to be doing, and then they just come and they just do it. And that's my commitment to Pathfinders. I probably need to do a little bit more than that, actually, but because we need some trips and some campouts and things like that. But if you haven't heard it yet, I'm going to say it again. Between Adventurers and Pathfinders, last Wednesday night, the last time we met, we had 33 kids. And that was really cool. Because when we signed up, when we had our sign-up night, I was this, if LaVon hadn't said something at the right time, I think I would have canceled it. Because we had 3 Pathfinders sign up. But it didn't stay that way. And it's just becoming a lot of fun. And that building over there is being used more and more. So one of the plans, we're supposed to have a commission to work that out, and we need to do that coming up in the new year. It still is on my to-do list. And then, as the fall came, we buckled down, and we talked about encounters with God. Because it turns out that not only other people need the Lord, we need Him too. And we need Him not to be the big man with a beard sitting on a cloud telling us what we can and cannot do. We need to hang out with God. And God's hanging out is not limited to BC or a little bit of AD. But God still hangs out with His people. And so we talked about that, and I enjoyed that and got a lot out of that too. I'm going to finish this morning with another, a little bit longer clip, so I want to get to it. And I've shown it here. It was shown this last year, and maybe it's just, well, can I share this story, Austin? I was practically putting these on last night, trying to find them, and Austin says, Daddy, sometimes you show the same thing too often. Because we hear them in two churches, and two churches before we came here, and now I'm getting ready to show one of them again. It's okay, we can do it. You like this one. You said you liked this one, so we got to show it, right? Oh, I just got the eye roll. It's a good clip. And it's the chisel, the one where the two guys talk about just shaping us up and growing with Christ. Because I'm hoping that if you're visiting here today, I know there are some visitors here today, which we're so glad you're here because it's still travel time. Some of our members are going to be elsewhere in different places as well. But no matter where you're from or what your regular life is, most of us probably want to be better people in the new year, right? Most of us want a closer walk with Jesus Christ. Most of us want to handle our money better. Most of us want to lose weight, if you haven't already. We have these things. We want to be a better parent. That's one of my regulars. I want to be a better person. And it all happens when you surrender yourself and give yourself over to your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we practice in this church is that we believe in that salvation moment, but we also believe that Jesus doesn't just save you from something, but He saves you into something. That He doesn't just save you from this life, but that He gives you a new life too. And that if you hang out with Him, that through His Spirit, you can become changed and you can become a new person. So we're going to finish this year by watching this clip. Oh, I skipped over that part. There we go.
Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's workmanship, that we're in essence His masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I get up in the morning and look in the mirror, I don't see a masterpiece, you know? I mean, maybe a Picasso, you know? But I want to be a masterpiece. I want to be everything that God has created me to be. And so I go to Him in prayer and I say, God, do whatever it takes to get things out of my life that don't need to be there. Mold me into the image of Your Son so that I can be Your masterpiece.
Hi.
Whoa. Who are you?
I'm God.
No, you're not.
Yeah, you just said the prayer, so here I am. That's how it works.
Oh, okay. If you're God, then make it snow in here.
You know what? If I made it snow in here, it'd get kind of yucky, and I really don't want to do that.
See, you're not God.
Why do you say that?
God wouldn't say yucky.
Yes, I do. It's a Greek word.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If you're God, what does Lamentations 15:9 say?
Lamentations is a very short book. It only has 5 chapters.
Why is it so short?
I was tired of lamenting.
Oh. If you're God, who's going to win the World Series this year?
You know what? I'm not so much into playing games. Why are you so much into playing games?
You are God.
Well, gave it away.
You answered my question with a question.
I did? Yep, I do that, don't I? Get it again. Step right up. Here we go. Okay. All right.
Hey, yeah. What's this about?
These are the tools I'm going to use to make you into my original masterpiece.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right?
Hang on.
Yeah.
I thought you were a carpenter.
That's my son. Here we go. Step right up. Here we go. All right.
Whoa. Yeah. How do you know what to chisel and what to leave?
I take out all the things in your life that aren't of me, kind of like dead weight.
Ooh, speaking of that, could you chisel right in here? I just can't get rid of it. I mean, the other went away, but this, I mean, I've tried exercising, I've watched what I ate, I even did Pilates for a while. That was awkward. But if you could chisel,
all
I mean, right?
Can I talk or can I chisel? Talk, chisel, talk, chisel.
No, chisel.
All right, most of my children just like to talk.
Not me. Bring on the chisel.
Here we go. All right. You have a lot of anger.
Ow.
Some pride.
Ow.
Compare yourself to others instead of me.
Ow.
You're lazy. But you pretend like you're really, really busy. You have a problem with lust.
Okay. Time out. I do not have a problem with lust.
You don't have a problem with lust.
No, I can do it anytime I want. Okay. Wait. Maybe we could take a little time out. I mean, I think I'm doing pretty good.
You are doing good, but when you look in the mirror, who do you see?
I see me.
Okay, then I need to keep chiseling away because ultimately you and others need to see my son. Here we go.
Okay, hold on. Don't take this the wrong way. It's just that when I start looking more like your son, people get uncomfortable around me, you know? I mean, even my friends at church, they're all like, oh, you're holier than thou. Why won't you do that, you know? I mean,
so what you're doing right now is you'd rather play God in certain areas of your life than for me to be God over your whole life.
I did not say that.
That's what you meant.
Yes, it is. It's hard to talk to you. I mean, you know everything I'm thinking. I'm just saying, you've done good work. Maybe we take a little break, a little time out. We'll come back to
it. What you're doing right now is so common. What you're doing right now is called control. Do you want to control things in your life, or can I chisel? Control, chisel, control.
No, chisel.
Here we go.
No, can we chisel where I want them?
It's called control.
Okay.
You've been holding on to this for a long time. You ready for this?
Hurts.
This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Ow! I don't think you understand this pain.
Don't talk to me about pain. I know all about pain. I sent my son to die on the cross for pain, for sin, but I also did it for another reason, to give you freedom. Do you know what insanity is? Insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, and expecting different results. And there are the things in your life, you even think back to high school, that you've been doing that do not work in your life, but you go to these empty wells whenever you're hurting, whenever you're angry, whenever you're lonely and tired, but they do not work.
No, okay. I'm thinking maybe
you're
we could...
not my thoughts.
Oh, okay, but if we went another way,
your
we
ways
could...
are not my ways.
Okay, well look, I can't be good.
You can't be good. I've made you good. Be good. What?
Nothing.
What is it?
You wouldn't understand.
I, God of all the universe, wouldn't understand something one of my children has to say. Try me.
It's just, God, I've let you down so many times.
No, you were never holding me up. I hold you up with my victorious, righteous right hand, and don't you forget that. In this relationship, I hold you up.
Chisel away.
All right.
Just be prepared for what you're going to find in there. Because I know who's inside there. Because God, I get up every morning and I look at him in the mirror. And it is this scared little kid who gets up every day and tries to dress like an adult and act like an adult, but I can't. So just be prepared for what you're going to find in there.
You have listened to so many voices for far too long that aren't out of me. You think you're junk, don't you? You really, really, really think you're junk. Listen to me. I don't make junk. What does that say about me? How can I show you that my love for you has no boundaries? I know. Reach in your back pocket.
What?
Reach in your back pocket.
Why?
Are you arguing with me? Reach in your back pocket.
God.
Yes?
I was just saying, God, I'll do that right now.
You were just saying my name in vain.
You know what? It's a name. It's a saying.
It's more than a name. It's more than a saying. It's more than a bad habit. It's a name above all names. I want to teach you something about my name. Reach in your back pocket. know what that is?
This is a page from a journal I had when I was younger. How'd you get this?
Hello?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, read it.
I love Angie Holland.
Other side.
Sorry. I married her.
I was there.
Oh, yeah. Dear God, today I am turning everything over to you. I'm not going to hold on to anything anymore. Your word says that you will make me your masterpiece and use me to do great things. I don't see how that's possible, but I want that with all that I am. So please do whatever it takes to make me what you want. I love you, God.
I love you too, Tommy. And I love you too much just to leave you where you're at. So this salvation that you hold, don't let it be some sentimental gush or some head knowledge. I want you to work it out, every detail of your life. And don't compare yourself to someone else, because that is just trivial nonsense. You are my original masterpiece. You are one of my workmanship, and you I find favor. This, don't look at this as a prison, but look at this as a father disciplines his child. A father disciplines the ones he loves.
I know, but it's going to be tough.
Yes, it'll be tough. But you bought into the lie thinking everything was going to be easy when you said yes to me. It's not how it works. I want you to do something. I want you to look up there and I want you to say, Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Tommy.
No. The way you see yourself or you yearn so much for others to see you. But the way I see you.
Tommy is God's original masterpiece.
Yes, you are.
So are you. God doesn't make junk. You are an original masterpiece.
I know we've talked about most of the highlights here, but I know some of you have had tough years too. But if you with me would like a better year next year, I invite you to stand and let's pray together, shall we, as we conclude our service. Let's pray. Dear God, I present to you your children. Take good care of them. Lead them and guide them. Guide them through if there are tough things. Reveal your plan. Show them your glory. Show them what you have in store for them. And God, bless us individually this year, and bless us as a church community in 2013, that we will honor and glorify you, and that we will use what we have and who we are to share who you are to this hurting world. Bless us this Sabbath day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. There'll be prayer right up the front here in just a little bit for those who want to talk about and pray about your coming week and opportunities to serve God. And then I invite the rest of you to hang out with each other, make yourself known, be known, and we'll see you next Sabbath.